studied and I stared at that thing for about 3 weeks at my desk and all that. So we have a few comments about the gumballs today. So we're going to talk about that. But first of all, the message comes from Psalms 29 but I want to do things a little differently. Pastor says, you know, it's okay to do things. Not wrong, it's just different, right? And all that. But tonight I'm going to read Psalms 145, verses 1 through 3. I'll let y'all see. I got it all written down here, but I'll go there too. But again, you know, when we think about that song that she just sang, you know, what a blessing it is. Just, you know, that can be very overwhelming when you really stop and think about, you know, God and who He is. And that's kind of the direction I want to go. You know, we've had Jonathan brought a wonderful Sunday school, and then the morning message just kind of filled all the gaps for me, and, you know, and just allowing us to see how God works in our lives and all that. So I'm going to read Psalms, again, 145, 1 through 3, and then we'll pray. I will extol thee, O my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. You know, I started thinking, unsearchable, what does that mean? You know, some of my things that came to me was that his greatness is unmatched. Man cannot match it in no way. It's mysterious in ways because we don't really know everything about God. We know a lot about him, but we don't know everything about him. And then it's unfathomable, you know. So we cannot totally comprehend God. But you know what? When we get to heaven, we'll spend eternity getting to know him. Amen. So, you know, that's really something to, when we think about that, you know, who God is and all that. And I always tell them in a nursing home, when you look outside, what do you see? There's more than just a parking lot and another building over there in Woodsville. What do you see out there? You see God out there. You know, and that's what we have to keep our thought process focused on what God and what he's doing and what he's done, you know, and all that. So, let's have a word of prayer. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this blessed day. And, Lord, we just thank you for this time that we come, Lord, just to talk about you more. And, Lord, what a blessing you are, Lord. And I just pray you hide me behind the cross and just help me to say those things that would glorify you and help us to be see you fresh and anew and just be drawn closer to you that we could just give you honor and glory. And just, Lord, just to see you for, Lord, who you are and just to grow, Lord, in our knowledge and our wisdom with you that others we see Christ within us. And Lord, we just love you and praise you. And thank you again for what you've done in Christy's life. Lord, what a blessing it is. Lord, she has a long ways to go. But Lord, we know that you are the God of impossibilities. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I kind of want to go there. As I was thinking about all this message and stuff, a while back I took a fall. I was so mad at myself for falling and stuff, you know. Simple thing of taking a pair of pants off, and the next thing I got to have reverse shoulder surgery. And awesome, what is going on here? And we've all went through trials and things and stuff like that, you know. And God works in a really, really, really good way. I'm not gonna say a mysterious way, but God does work in our lives and all that. So again, we can see the greatness of God and how good He is. And how often, you know, I ask myself, how often do I say, "Oh, how I love Jesus"? How often do you say that? You know, when we think about that, and on Wednesday nights we come and we have a grand time of sharing our testimonies of how God's worked in wondrous ways and all that. But, you know, and we need to be doing it, not just on Wednesday nights, but all the time, because God is good. You know, when we're down in the valleys, He's there. He's guiding us. He's helping us. You know, when we're on that mountaintop, we should definitely be shouting and having a good time in the Lord and all that. So, again, when we think about all that, you know, I think I go back to my time when I when I fell, you know, and it was right after Thanksgiving, and I fell and all that, and I said, I got to have a surgery and stuff like that, and, you know, and I had to pray about it, was thinking about, what is God going to do here, and all that, and I saw really God working, because I didn't have to wait on anything. I went in one day, I decided to have the surgery. He said, okay, walked out. We got an MRI for you tomorrow. Okay, do that. And then 2 weeks later, I was having surgery. and all that, and that's unheard of. If you deal with the medical field out there today, that's totally unheard of, and that had to be all God doing that and all that. So again, you know, I do believe God was trying to get my attention, though, during this whole process. You know, again, because I was starting to focus here. A little bit of self-pity going on here. Now what you do, you show, now you're going to be laid up for 6 months. You can't do this and do all that. You know, I started feeling a little self-pity, you know, a little, you know, and stuff like that. So, after feeling sorry for myself and all that, God told me to read a story. And it was a story about Paul, his thorn in the flesh. You know, and all that, because I was going through this therapy, you know, and surgery went well, you know, and you're 2 months ahead. Look at me, I'm big, bad. I'm doing it. And what God said, now I'm going to get your attention. And he says, you're not going to get all your movement back. And I haven't got all my movement back, because that's my thorn in the flesh keeping me from getting puffed up and looking at self, instead of looking at what he did and how he healed my arm and all that. So again, you know, it's so important to see how God intervenes in our lives. You know, and it's a blessing to know that how he works. You know, but if we don't know him, if we don't pay attention to him, if we just, you know, run in here on a Sunday morning and out the door and that's all we know about God, you're missing out on what God has for us and all that. So again, you know, with that thorn in the flesh, again, it's a reminder. Every time I reach right there, that's it. There ain't no more. There ain't no more there. I can never throw a ball again or anything like that. But that's God's reminder to me. I'm in charge, not you. And all that. So I dealt with that for a while. And then came Easter. And we decided we was going to sign up for to go to Zion Baptist Church. Okay, we went to Sunrise services before. They've all been great and all that. Lo and behold, I was never wild more in my life until I walked into that church. There wasn't a person that didn't come by, didn't say hello to you, shook our hands, you know, did something, directed us, guided us, here's where you need to go. And I was fiberglass just by that. And then the service started. And man, you could see the joy of the Lord in the people. They weren't just, hey, or how great they are, how great thou art. That's the way they sang. You didn't fall asleep there. If you was playing on your phone, you're going to be doing this and stuff like that. And I said, wow, that just amazed me when I saw that. You know, we came from North Carolina, and we visit, you know, the churches we were a part of, they were lively and stuff like that and all that, and we went to several revivals and stuff. You know, we had a lot of the excitement, nothing like that. And then I got to thinking again, what are we going to do in heaven? That's what we're going to be doing in heaven. You know, and there's not going to be no reserves. You know, I don't know what Brother Spencer's, amen. We're going to see things the way God sees things and the way he wants us to act and do those things. You know, so again, when I saw that, a verse came to mind. I remember Jesus when he was entering Jerusalem and all that. You know, and he's riding the donkey and all that, and they were hollering Hosanna and, you know, doing all, you know, and he's coming in and all that. And then they came upon some of the Sadducees and all the Jewish leadership there, and they, and all that. What did Jesus say to the people when he said, he said, you know what, if they're not going to cry out, the rocks out there are going to cry out. And that kind of really got my attention. Then I had to ask myself, are the rocks crying out louder than I? And that's what it's about praising God. You know, being reserved and all that, you know, when it comes, we're not reserved for sporting events or other things that our kids are doing. What's wrong with that down here? It would shock the pastor. He'd probably back up a couple of steps, you know, if everybody started praising and hollering and, you know, and all that. And that's what it's all about. We should be excited When we walked through that door, man, I can't wait to sing that next song. Brother John, I'm going to blow you off the stage, you know, praising God. But we're reserved. When we get to heaven, we're not going to be reserved. So God told me, again, the key thing that for it are the rocks crying out louder than me. And all that. Then, my good buddy, Mr. Gumball. Thought about that for a long time. You know? So I started reflecting back on my life where God found me. He was talking about that this morning. I was rebellious and stuck in a rut and sin and held in my place by some naughty, thorny barb Satan was throwing my way. Kind of like the tree gumballs that are embedded in the ground out there. These gumballs are like sin. There's nothing good about them from my point of view. Amen. And they are difficult to move and get rid of. And when you come Thursday evening, you'll find out. I'll tell you. I've got them. That's as far as I've gotten them out there and all that. And these gumballs are like sin. There's nothing good about them. So sin is like a gumball too. It's hard to get rid of. And it restrains our movements even to the point of causing injuries. Amen. Tears things apart in our lives and can separate us from what's really important, our relationship with God. I got all that out of a gumball. So, sin does things to us sometimes. It sneaks up on us. It's quiet. Satan says it, you know. And then somewhere it's just, you know, we just jump right into it. Man, I've got to do this. And all that. So, the tree gumballs can dig into the ground like sin digs into a hold of our minds and our hearts. Sin keeps one in the rut, denying God. To remove these tree gumballs from our yard, the church recently repurchased a gumball picker-upper. Amen. And we even demonstrated, got it on video and all that. But it works. But you know what? We have somebody that takes the gumballs out of here and disposes them. Amen. And that gumball, as I say, that sin is removed by Jesus and his unconditional love that he has for us. God's only begotten Son, and that's what he did for us at Calvary. You know, Jesus obediently came, and through his shed blood and his death, burial, and resurrection, we can have a new life in Christ and experience his unmatched grace and mercy. Whew. So we need that every day. And it's all about making the right choices in life and let Jesus remove the naughty, thorny barbs from our lives that only he can remove. How many times you said you're going to stop and do something? You say, I'm going to get that out of my life and all that. But you can't do it. You might get rid of it for a couple of weeks or something like that. I'll use my example, smoking. That was the hardest thing for me to do. And all that. But you know what? Finally, when I got it in here, God pricked my heart enough about it. He said, you need to stop smelling like an ashtray and start smelling like a rose. So, all right. So, and so I quit. And then, you know, and it's funny, when I got that mindset to do it, I quit. And from then on, I've not had a desire to smoke. You know, but it was God that took it away. And that's what, you know, we can say we try to remove things and stuff, but what happens? We're creatures of habit, and we kind of go back and forth and stuff. So we have to be careful. So we're heading to Psalms 29. We're getting there, all right? So with all that being said, the great decision I ever made was the day that I realized that I was a sinner, and I needed Jesus, and I needed to be saved. And become that new creature in Christ and to get rid of those sinful, naughty barbs, you know. And that day is when I started praising God. Now, I'll bet you everybody in here did the same thing. When we first get, well, we're on fire for the world. We're looking good. We're talking about Jesus. Here we are. For me, it's 30 years later. Am I still excited about the Lord? And I am. Has there been rough patches down the way? There sure has. But you know what? We need to keep that excitement going in us, you know. And that, you know, part of what I was saying earlier about praising God, like they did at Zion back, you know, if we do that, your whole demeanor will start changing when we're praising God and start, you know, let them songs come out and sing, you know, listen to those words and let them speak to your heart. And also, it's again, so when you stop and take a moment or two and meditate on the character of God and not all he's done, God's pretty amazing, wouldn't you think? You know, think about that amazing grace. I'm that wretched person. I was 38 years old when I got saved. And how I made it to 38, only God. But it was God. It was him. And all that, amen. So I got to thinking again, how amazing is God in my life, and how am I expressing? And I asked the same to you, how amazing is God in your own life? You know, so again, when we think about that, we need to don't be shy. You know what? If we stop being shy and praising God in here, I bet you when we walked out there, we wouldn't have that shyness out there and hanging up those things or, you know, telling somebody about Jesus. And I'm talking to myself, too. I'm not just talking to y'all. I was telling Johnson, I read a devotion, one of the ones that we have here from Dr. Parr Chapel and all that, and he referenced Psalms 29, and all that, and that really got a hold of my heart. You know, Psalms 29 is a wonderful song that is simply titled the Psalm of David. I love David. I love reading the Psalms. I could read them over and over and over, and I do read them a lot. Now, the 11 verses are poetic beauty and describes the strength of a storm, understanding it as the voice and power of God. This here is the voice and power of God. The psalmist mentions the name of the Lord 18 times in 11 verses and uses the phrase, the voice of the Lord, 7 times. And I'll ask, wow. So, theologian James M. Boyce wrote this about Psalms 29. The psalm has no other elements. It's pure praise. It does not call upon us to do anything because the psalm itself is doing the only thing it is concerned about. It's praising God. Amen. So let's read Psalms 29 here. Well, I guess I better get there. Everybody stand for the reading of God's word, and we'll just give him honor for that. Psalms 29, verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the water. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon siren like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh pines to calve and discovereth the forest. And in the temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flooded, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And you may be seated. So when you think about that, wow. Yeah, I'm going to focus just on verses 3 through 7, and we're going to kind of just go through each little phrase and just talk about it briefly. So in verse 3, it starts with, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. When you think about the water in the ocean, it's loud, it's attention-getting, and it echoes worldwide. That's what God does. He's not centered here in Hampton, Virginia. He's echoing. He's all around the world. People are hearing his voice. So again, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory of the Lord thundereth. He quakes our surroundings. He shakes us to the point of where we're paying attention to who he is. You know, and when we do that, then we can he's got our attention. Then he can do what needs to be done. Then the Lord is upon many waters. Again, he's over every body of water, all to hear. One cannot hide from the Lord. Those that don't want have nothing to do with the Lord, they can't hide. They're still, God knows where they are. They may not want to hear it, and they may talk bad about him, but they can't hide from the Lord. The voice of the Lord is powerful. Again, there's nothing stronger or greater than God. People try to bring God to our level so, you know, that we're, as they think, we're equal to them. You know, and they are very foolish in thinking that way. Amen. So the voice of the Lord is full of majesty, full of splendor and dignity and magnificence, meaning that he knows everything about us. He knows exactly where we need to be, exactly what we need, you know, and when we need that lifting up, he's going to do it. You know, and then in my case, when he needed to get my attention, he got my attention. You know, and that's the way that God works. He wants us to keep that flow going, keep us in step and going in the direction of his will. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He's talking about that he splits or separates or removes the mighty men to humbleness. Amen. And that's what he does. That, you know, when we need to be humble, he's going to do it. And all that. So again, and you know, sometimes, again, like myself, you know, we can get puffed up. Again, we can get ahead of God and things like that, and we have to be real careful about that. You know, I see things in the nursing home. A lot of times we'll do things, and I'll get frustrated and all that. Maybe we just have four people and all that. But, you know, God has to remind me, it doesn't matter. You have four people that need to hear about me. You know, and that's why, you know, he humbles me and says, just do what I am, and I'll do the rest. And all that. So we have to remember that. So then he maketh them, talking about mountains, also to split like a calf. Lebanon's earth, like a young unicorn. You know, and I like this. He's like a young wild ox full of life, and he wants to extend that new life to him. God is exciting. He's not sitting back there on the, you know, in the lounge just flipping this. He's excited. He's constantly working. He works in our, he wants us to be excited, to get out there. You know, have that compassion, you know, let others see Christ in us. You know, I was telling you this morning in Sunday school, you know, we saw a man came to the yard sale that we had and all that. You know, and you could see God was in him. You know, and he was talking, he was praising the Lord, and we had our sign out there, and he likes it. Boy, I can tell you, you know, y'all are Christians. I had my whosoever John 3:16 shirt on. Man, he was excited. And he bought a whole bunch of stuff he didn't need. And then, like I said, he donated $100 to Haley and $1.08 to the next yard sale we're getting ready to have and all that. You know, he was excited about God and what God was going to do. You know, and we need that same excitement and all that. So then the voice of the Lord divideth the flames. His voice strikes and penetrates the hearts and minds like bolts of lightning. You know, to get people's attention, to change them, this is like what? A two-edged sword. This hurts. When you're not right with the Lord, or you're doing something wrong, it hurts. You know. Well, it was just, you know, I just did it for a little while. It doesn't matter. When we do things, you know, people are seeing what we're doing. And they can say, look what they're doing. You know? So we don't want to give them their opportunity. What we want to do is want them to say, I want what you got. And what do you got? I got Jesus right here. And that's what we want to make sure that they understand. So, again, so do you, as we went through these, do you understand that since greatness of God in these few, God's word, and all, there is much more in here for us to go through. You know, have you ever read a verse, you know, five different times and got five different meanings from it? You know, that's what it's all about. So when we're glorifying and we're here praising God and having church and Sunday school and Bible studies and prayer time and all that. Now, when we leave here, we need to be a different person. We should be, man, I'm glad I lifted those burdens from me. Man, I want somebody to see Christ through them. We saw some ladies today. We went to Subway for lunch. Two ladies were in there, and man, they were just happy. They were happy and just enjoying themselves and getting a sandwich and stuff like that. And she said, here's y'all a coupon. Get 2 for 1. I said, praise God. That's you can see the goodness of God was in them, and you know, and the greatness of God working in their lives. You know, what a blessing that was. So again, but you know, most of the time, you know, society thinks of God as a tall tale, a cosmic story, or some kind of put-on pleasantry. Amen. God is often portrayed as an old man in a rocking chair in heaven, detached from the world, unwilling or unable to do anything to curb the wickedness and evil of this world. As Christians, we know there's nothing further from the truth than that. That is a total lie. God is an all-powerful and active, and he's involved in every part of creation. Every part of it. He has the ability to do anything, even that which is humanly impossible, simply by commanding. God is sovereign and continues to guide us through man's message. Does he not? When we think about how many times did God have to get Israel out of so many messes? You know, as we read through the Bible and stuff, and we've been reading, we just got through the Judges and headed into Samuel and the Kings and all that stuff. And I said, man, this is just like what we're facing today. Not just here in America, but around the world. So when we truly understand the glory and power and majesty of God, we would hold him in fear, in awe, and reverence him in our hearts as much as we can. Not just on Sunday. Every day. You wake up in the morning and just go outside and say, man, Lord, what a beautiful day. Thank you. You know, thank you for a new breath. Thank you that my family's here and we're able to enjoy one another and all that. So, the casual and insensitive attitude of the world towards God can easily affect the church, and especially each of us. Since we are the church, and we let those worldly values start coming, and we start bringing it in here, why do we see so many churches failing? Why do we see so many churches today turning from this and going the way the world is? It's because they've let Satan, if you will, get his foot in the door. And then it's just kind of escalated from there. So, God is just as extraordinary and holy today as he's been throughout history, will be in the future. God hasn't changed. God has not changed over time. His holiness and perfection has not diminished one atom. Everyone needs a renewed awareness and sense of greatness by making and taking time for him. I'm going to repeat that. By making and taking time for him. We can take time and do things for everything else that goes on in our life. You know, and well, I'm going to slide in here and do 5 minutes to the Lord now. Let me quit doing this over here. Let me take that time and give it to the Lord. That's what we have to start doing. And I find myself too. You know, we'll get busy doing something with the nursing home, doing something with the church, doing something with the family, and doing all these things. And all of a sudden, I said, whoa, I missed my Bible reading this morning. Oh, I didn't do my devotion like I should have. Oh, I didn't take time to pray. You know, Lord, thank you. You know, everybody on the prayer list, help them out. Amen. Go. No. That's not what God wants to do. That's where we have to take that time and make time for him. You know, Miss Debbie makes that prayer list for us. And if you go through it, I'll guarantee you it's going to take you anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes to go through that list. And you have to find some quiet time to do it. And all that, you know. And the one thing the preacher, Pat, he had a message, I guess, several months about having noise in our in our lives. And that noise was what was distracting us from God. So again, we have to make the time and take the time for it. You know. When Moses was on Mount Sinai and brought the people God's law that he had received, they were terrified by his physical appearance. Amen? God's power and presence was within him. You know, when he came back, there was something different about it. He glowed, or, you know, and all that. He just walked majestic. You know, it just everything about him represented God, you know? And that's what I have to ask myself, am I doing that too? I don't do it when I drive. I'll guarantee you that. She'll testify to that. Don't cut me off. And stuff. But again, you know, that's things I have to work on. And all that. She asked me the other day, boy, you should lose your patience. I said, well, yeah, you're right. That's something I got to work on. And all that. But, you know, it'd be, you know, it's hard praising God when somebody's doing something to you. But you know what? You know, think about you were spoken about Jesus and the cross and everything that he went through this morning. Not once did he talk bad about anybody or anything like that. He was focused on God. And God got him through what needed to be for us. Amen? So again, you know, what is our demeanor showing to the world? What are people seeing within us? As children of God, we have been given the privilege of entering into his presence with confidence and boldness because of the righteousness of Jesus. We're robed in Jesus' righteousness. We get to go down there. We can go there boldly, but I bet better make sure we come on, go humbly too. You know? You know, but you know, but let's say God wants us to come to him. He wants us to tell him what's on your mind. Tell, you know, and he already knows it. We've heard this. I'm not saying nothing new. He's already knows. He knows everything and all that. But you know what? We have direct access to him. And that's what we have to ask ourselves, you know. You know. So, again, this access to God should not lead us to treat God as a casual or an arrogant way or to think less highly of his power and glory. Many people are like that today. Sadly, many Christians fall into that right there. You know, and you want to go over and wake up. You can't wake up and all that. But you know, if we're going to do something like that, we got to do it with God leading us to do it and all that. Because I know for myself, from my military days and all that, I can have a pretty sharp tongue at occasions, and that, you know, I have to try to catch them words. I don't know how many times I've been trying to catch them words as they went out. Amen. So the seasoned Christian emanates God in every aspect of their lives. We are not super Christians. We're not super Christians. Amen. We're followers of a precious Savior who gave us a new life. That's what we have to remember. And that new life is what we want to share with everybody else. You know. So no matter where we are in our life, God is still holy, almighty God, and we should worship and reverence him as such. He is our loving Father and works powerfully in this world and in our daily life. Does he not? With that being said, it's notable that the world we live in is, again, is loud, wicked, and corrupt, and it can be deafening and very distracting. But always keep in mind that God is much louder, as we read. Amen. Is he not much louder? He's more powerful and definitely more loving. I tell the folks in our nursing home all the time, you know what the difference between our God and all them false gods is? Is he loves us. Those other gods don't love us. All they want is works. So again, that's what we have to remember, how much God loves us. You know, so the peace of God's word turns down the noise and offer serene truth and beauty in a place of uncertainty and activism. There's another psalm, Psalms 19. One. The law of the Lord is perfect. Whew. The scriptures are certain, factual, and without error. Anybody want to add anything? Anybody got some insights to put in here? Anybody? Anybody got more wisdom than God does? Anybody want to help God in anything going on? But the world wants to do that. They change this thing all the time. Amen? So again, the law of the word is perfect, converting, meaning changing, restoring, and replenishing the soul. That inner person that's in here. The testimony of the Lord is sure, meaning it's unmatched by anyone or any false god, making wise the simple. God's word is for everybody, not just for the educated, not for the rich. It is for everybody. And that's why we have to, you know, have to help people understand that. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Commandment of the Lord is pure. Again, it's genuine, accurate, and precise, enlightening the eyes. I mean, it's revealing, it's instructive for us. That's why it's so important that when we come to church and we hear the Sunday schools, you know, we hear the preaching and the Bible studies on Wednesday nights, or maybe we get together like the women did, had some Bible studies, all those things that we can do to learn more about God. I know one thing I used to have to do all the time especially when I was working in Greensboro in their airplane repair facility, I had to saturate my mind with God's word constantly because of what was going on in there. You know, and it's easy to get distracted. So we need to do everything. One thing I love doing is listening to music. And I'll put my headphones on and all that, and you know, and I'll listen. And I can do that for 30 minutes and just, you know, you know, it's amazing the thoughts and things that come to your mind. So God has many different avenues for us. He has many different avenues to help us get to learn to know Him. So our intimate relationship with God is very important. Jesus made meaningful efforts to get alone with His Father so He could rest and be refreshed for God's next steps. Do we not need to do the same thing? We need to do the same thing. We need to find that place of quietness and let God refresh us, revive us. We just came out of a revival meeting and all that. How many of us are still remembering what took place, thinking about what was taking? Maybe we need to go to the website and listen to some of those messages again. Or maybe some of the pastor's messages. All those things are helpful to us, you know, for what God is preparing us to do. So again, we have to find that quietness place. We need to let the insight in what is to come, what God wants us to do, reveal those things to us. It helps us to understand ourselves. And I guess when I read that Psalms, and it helped me remember myself, where God found me, what I was doing, quit feeling sorry for yourself. Yes, you're going through some tough times, but you know what? Christy's going through a whole lot worse than I am. And some of you went through some of the same types of things that, you know, it was God that helped you through, that got you through it, you know. So let's go back to Psalms 29. The voice of the Lord is upon the water. Again, He's trying to get our attention, is He not? He's loud. The God Almighty, God thunders, He quakes. Again, He shakes us. He'll do whatever it takes to get our attention. The Lord is upon many waters. He's over everybody. He's everywhere. We can't hide from Him, even when we think. The voice of the Lord is powerful. Again, there's nothing stronger than God and His voice when he's talking and doing things. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Again, He knows it. He's splendor. He's majestic. He's caring. And He knows what we need. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars again, and the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Again, He wants us to separate us from this world. Give us that new life full of energy. That vitality, that bounce on our step, that smile. Do we have that? And the voice of the Lord divides the flames, you know. And if we're not going to listen, He's going to get our attention. Remember, we said this is like a two-edged sword. And he's going to do something to get our attention, is it not? Again, so we understand the greatness of God. We just touched on it. I could probably stay up here for hours and hours and hours. But you know what? One day I tried Jesus. And he made a difference in my life. I know that was, 31, 32 years ago. You know, and I think it's a privilege just for me being here today. If you knew me back in those days. But I came across this song, and I was telling Tracy about, you know, I'm trying to learn this song. Wrong. We don't have the voice. You know, I can harmonize or whatever, but that's about all I'm going to do. But I'm going to read you the lyrics to this song. It's the name of it. It's called Try Jesus. If you ever need a friend closer than a brother, try Jesus. If you ever need a counselor better than your mother, try Jesus. And if you ever needed someone to draw you closer to the Father, try Jesus. And if you ever needed a hand to help you step out on the water, try Jesus. He alone knows your condition. He alone knows your heart's intentions. Amen. If you ever needed someone to lay down their life for you, try Jesus. If you ever needed a healer when the doctor walks away, friend, try Jesus. And if you never thought you'd have the strength to face another day, try Jesus. If you ever needed someone to walk with you to the end, try my Jesus. And if you ever need to hear the words, I forgive you again, try Jesus. Try Jesus, he never fails. Try Jesus. When the doubts assail, try Jesus, he never fails. If you ever need a friend, try Jesus. He's always near, he's always near. Try Jesus. And one day, like I told you several years ago, I didn't bring what I was looking for. I didn't bring it. Did I bring it? I did bring it. This was me for 38 years. 38 years, this is what I looked like inside. This is what my heart was. But when I accepted Jesus, this is what he did. He cleaned my heart. He made me that new person in Christ. And that's what I got out of studying a gumbo. You know, that's what God wants us to do. He wants to clean our hearts up. When he's cleaned this up, you watch what he can do in your life. There's nothing that we can't do if we just keep our focus. Let's pray.